welcome to another episode of Audio Dust Jacket. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and we have another great show for you today. On the line with me today, I have Steve Jacobs with his book, The Behavior Breakthrough. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Kevin.
So tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive into this book here.
Well, I'm chairman of a company, the Continuous Learning Group. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary a few months ago, and we really founded the company with experience, 20 years ago, that companies were getting better at getting things started, but not necessarily better at getting things finished.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've really built the last 20 years around, helping companies build superior execution capability. And that's what really has led us to the topic here today around the importance of behavior change.
Okay. Well, let's get in there. Before we go into it, explain to our listeners what behavior change is.
But when you really think about starting from a business standpoint, most businesses are fundamentally trying to survive and prosper by getting better and better business results. And many times, as a matter of fact, nearly always, to get new results, you need new behavior from someone. And many times organizations do other things. They put in new technology, they put in new processes, they revise their strategy. And they assume that behavior is going to follow, and many times behavior does not follow.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about behavior change today, we're talking about the things that people do and say that really make a difference to new levels of performance and new business results in companies.
So where does this change happen? Does it need to happen up at the C level, or does it have to start at the ground level of just the day-to-day task people, or is it all the way around?
It's all the way around, but it does follow a certain sequence. So first off, if you start with the type of performance you're really trying to accomplish or trying to improve, then that begs the question, well, who are those people? Who are those performers, if you will?
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you're talking about mining productivity or mining safety, then, you are talking about first the fundamentally, the change in behavior in in the production of folks within a mine. If you're talking about a pharmaceutical company and new drugs coming out of R&D, you very well could be talking about the performers being PhD scientists, for instance. So it's not level, it's not degree of education. It's whose performance matters to that business result. So that's typically where you start.
Mm-hmm.
From there, though, other people's behavior matters a lot, as I'm sure we'll get into in a few minutes.
Definitely. And that's something I definitely want to get into. How do you go about approaching people? Because, you can look at the bottom line numbers, you can look at your ROI, and you can see, hey, there's a breakdown somewhere in the system. We need to find out how to change people's behaviors to increase this. Because if there's good ROI there, there really aren't any problems, and there's not that much change going on in the company. But how do you tell somebody, especially a higher up or anyone, when you're talking to someone that's been doing their job for 30 years, well, you need to change. You need to change the way you're doing this and that. I feel like there would be a lot of resistance.
Yeah, if you come at it that way, there often is, because by saying people aren't behaving a certain way, there's all sorts of connotations that come with that. So, typically you start with what is it that the company agrees that they need to achieve differently and why. And almost always, there's a positive affirmative answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's because there's market opportunity and people are looking to seize that opportunity. Sometimes it's because there are competitive threats and people are very worried about those threats. But either way, there's generally agreement that they have to achieve some type of new result. And from there, you can then begin a conversation that says, okay, well, to get that new result, who needs to do what differently?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that requires some skill in guiding that conversation. But it's something that's readily done.
What would be the first step for a company that realizes they need to do this and they buy the book? And what's the first step in the book that they have to do to start this process?
Yep. Generally, it's for the leadership team to agree on what are the key new results that we need to accomplish as a company that we know are difficult to accomplish. And furthermore, we know that one of the reasons they're difficult to accomplish is because it's not been easy to get the new behavior that's required for those new results. So, you know, starting there with the leadership team and getting alignment on the answers to those very questions, again, often can be done, you know, in a meeting or mm-hmm. a series of a couple meetings, but that's really the first step.
All right, so we've done that. We've got our sort of direction. After that, how does the book help me break down these kind of engagements with people and getting everyone on board with this change?
Yep. First off, we cover 7 steps in the book that, you know, any behavioral leader can follow and get a new level of behavior and new level of result. In addition to that, the book also covers a roadmap for that senior leadership team to say, okay, well, now that we've just taken that first step that I described a minute ago, where do we go from here? And so, we talk in terms of 4 phases for a leadership team, making it clear, making it real, making it happen, and then making it last. And there are some key milestones in that roadmap for each of those 4 phases.
All right. Well, I love those phases right there, especially making it last, because it's really easy to implement something for a short amount of time and then sort of letting it fall by the wayside.
Yeah, for anyone who's been on a diet, lost their 10 pounds, and then, you know, found, you know, 9 months later they've gained that 10 pounds back, sustainability is key.
Definitely. So what companies would benefit from this book the most? Is it small companies? Is it Fortune 500 companies or anybody?
It really is all organizations, that are trying to get a new level of result and, really have some understanding that that new behavior or systematic behavior change in a skillful way will help them get those new results. So we work with some of the largest companies on earth, Fortune 10 companies, Global 100 companies. So the things that we're talking about here today are very scalable, on an enterprise level over time around the world.
Mm-hmm.
That said, we also work, for instance, we've worked with the government of Ireland in partnership with Stanford University and Duke CE to work with 200 very small companies in 3 different sectors in Ireland, with the intent of applying the same approaches, but to help them move from, whether it's 2 million or 20 million euro, to something that's, 10x, 20x that mm-hmm. within just a couple years. And again, the methods that we describe in the book have been very helpful to smaller companies as well.
Definitely. Do you think this is sort of the future of the way companies are going to be run with this method, more focused on behavior, on the human aspect, and not so much on, well, we didn't reach our bottom line here, so we're going to cut these people?
I think for sure it points to the future, because it's a fundamentally powerful lever, just as good strategy, good process, and good technology is. So in that sense, behavior and behavioral leadership, I believe in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll see that ranked, every bit as important and sit alongside those other performance levers. I also think that you'll see in major business schools, as a matter of fact, I've just been approached twice in the last 2 days
mm-hmm.
with business schools that are saying, we'd like to be amongst the first to build a science-based discipline of behavioral leadership into the leadership curriculum of our business school programs. So, we're already seeing that start to evolve.
Well, that's got to be exciting to know that you guys are you're on the leading edge of this, and schools are already like, you guys definitely are the future. We want to teach this to our students, but this is going to make them successful in business.
Yep, it's exciting.
Well, I want to talk about the writing process. How did you guys sit down and decide you were going to write this book? How did that come to fruition?
Well, I'll go back 30 years. Because the first decision, at least as involved me, was the decision not to write a book for quite a period of time. When I was doing my doctoral work at at Harvard, I'd done something called a meta-analysis that pulled hundreds and hundreds of research studies across 50 years
mm-hmm.
on the subject of basically the role of stress in the diabetes as a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asked to give a talk, and just as the room filled up and so forth in an amphitheater, and the last folks in were folks that had flown from Tibet.
Wow.
To see my talk. I was 24 years old, and as I'm starting the talk, I knew my subject, but we were talking about health and illness, and it hit me that at my age, there were really experienced, profoundly wise people, searching for answers. And at 24, what did I know?
Yeah.
Fast forward a few years, I was helping an AT&T company during divestiture get started, and they were bringing in some of the top consultants, really in the world. They were paying top dollar, and I was doing third shift in the computer room and so
yeah.
forth, really applying some of the principles that the consultants were bringing in. And as smart as these folks were, and as well-meaning as they were, their recommendations weren't working. And they weren't working because, the consultants didn't have any feedback loop. They didn't
mm-hmm.
know that they weren't working. And so I just vowed at that time it would be at least 2 decades before I wrote anything. I just wanted to spend my life involved in, helping to improve things and really identify what truly, truly worked. A number of my colleagues, came from that same set of values. So we purposely held off until, what turns out to be our 20th year in business. And we did feel that there are enough companies around the world, enough proof points, enough practical, concrete examples that we can share that would merit and justify writing the book at this point.
Wow. Well, that definitely explains why it's such a well-crafted piece of work and why business schools are already going after it, because it's 20 years of you guys really refining this process and waiting till it was perfect and right and you guys had enough information. That's amazing.
Yep.
So what's next? Are you guys going to write another book after this, or was this it? I'm going to have to wait another 20 years? Or...
Yeah, no, there really, there will be some additional books that follow. One, because people are already asking, well, could we profile more deeply executives in different companies that that are behavioral leaders, that have spent time personally, becoming skilled in in behavioral leadership and the science-based leadership approaches. And really making things happen, on a significant scale within their companies. So that's something that you can expect to see within the next year or two. And then beyond that, you probably noticed that the last chapter in the Behavior Breakthrough focuses on building enterprise-wide competitive advantage
mm-hmm.
through behavioral leadership. And there are really a handful of companies that are pioneering that right now. Within a few years, there'll be much more to say about how do you do that, reliably and on scale, not just to get breakthrough performance, but to truly build a defensible form of competitive advantage that, that's really tough for competitors to imitate, at least to imitate
mm-hmm.
quickly.
Well, that's good to know. I know every company would like that kind of competitive advantage over their competitors, and I think you guys found the secret sauce. I'm just surprised that you guys are sharing it so willingly. I absolutely love that kind of mindset.
But it's time. It really is time.
Well, we definitely need a pivot in the way the business world's been thinking, and I think that you guys are on the right track.
I appreciate it, Kevin.
All right, Steve. How do people reach out to you and grab your book?
They can go online to www.thebehaviorbreakthrough.com. And then, of course, the major booksellers also have it on their websites. So, again, it's The Behavior Breakthrough. Lead author is Steve Jacobs.
All right. Well, Steve, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this information with us and telling us about your book.
And Kevin, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is Kevin Finn for everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Audio Dust Jacket.